Glenn Healy is executive director of the NHL Alumni Association, one of our NHL insiders. He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, Mr. Healy.
The page on baseball?
Yeah, it's flipped.
Did you say that publicly? You?
There, it's flipped.
Gosh.
It's turned. It's burnt. I didn't just turn the page. I burnt the whole damn book. Trust me.
Oh, wow. This is a revelation.
Not really. Not necessarily a revelation. I'm a front runner. I'm more than willing. More than willing. To jump off the 18 wheeler before it goes over the cliff. More than willing.
Yeah, not a pretty season.
No.
Not pretty at all. No.
I'm all behind the boys, Glenn. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm all behind them, like 2 miles behind them, if you know what I mean. Hey, we still got 3 cuts to make in the Leafs roster. And then obviously a lot depends on William Nylander and the course of the next week or so. But, you know, I watched 3 of the games pretty closely. I can't say I watched all their preseason games. I watched 3 of the games pretty closely. I expected to be a little more impressed by some of the young players than I actually was. And, I don't know what that means. I expected to see a little more from Liljegren. I thought Sundin was fine. I expected to see a little more.
Well, I think what you find in this city, and as a player, we used to joke about this, that at about this time, there are articles that get written, you know, where, like, David Clarkson's the new Wendell Clark, and where this young player is, you know, the new up-and-comer, and watch out. Because I find the media has a lot of forgiveness and a lot of love for the Leaf players. And so coming into the party, there's this big expectation for every player, because we love to talk about these guys and maybe, you know, kind of blow it out of the water, so to speak, as to what their level really is. You know, playing in Sweden or playing in junior is much different than playing in the preseason at the National Hockey League level. Now we haven't even got to the regular season. We haven't even got to the first 3 rounds of playoffs. And then, as Gretz likes to say, then the 4th season is the Stanley Cup final, where that is at a stage and a level like anyone who's not been there wouldn't know what to expect. So it's a big jump for some of these young kids. Big jump, high expectation, and high demands from a coach. And sometimes when you get your window, whether it's your goaltender who gets his chance to see whether he can knock off McElhinney, it just doesn't quite work that way, does it? And so I think that's part of it. Our expectation in this city, because of the hype, is always so much greater. They're not writing these stories in Carolina, trust me.
No. And quite frankly, you know, kvetching about... you know, the backup goalie is a lot better than what we used to write about in the city, which is, oh my God, they're going to suck. Everything's horrible. We used to hammer on the first line.
Right. We have 2 number one centers.
Yes.
Since Matt Sundin left, we didn't have one. We thought it was great a couple years ago that guys actually tried. You're supposed to try. It's like me thanking you for stopping at stop signs. You're supposed to stop at stop signs. You're not supposed to be a prisoner. I shouldn't thank you for not being a criminal. You're supposed to not be one. And so that's what we were congratulating the group with a number of years ago when Komarov went to the All-Star game. Now the conversation is much more in the micro section of the newspaper, breaking down backup goalies and 7th defensemen, and they've got to make another cut. This is a much different conversation.
What would Garrett Sparks have had to do to, essentially eliminate Curtis McElhinney? What could he have done realistically to eliminate McElhinney?
Well, he could have gotten in the way of 5 more of them. That would have helped him in a big way. His big chance, the big stage against, quite frankly, not a very good team. His opposition didn't dress, you know, the 1979 Montreal Canadiens. It was an average team, and he had an average performance, and that reflected on the direction moving forward. I mean, I think there were some guys that thought he should have played the next game to give him one more crack. In fact, he didn't tells me pretty much everything of what Mike was thinking. Now they have a bit of an issue because age is not to McElhinney's favor, but this team, this window is small, so you're going to want to win. You're going to want to have a goaltender you can trust and rely on, because, quite frankly, your division's crummy. So you can play your backup goalie a lot against the Buffaloes, the Ottawas, and teams, the Montreals, teams that aren't that good, and you should get points on any given night. So age doesn't suit him well. The contract for Sparks suits him well. they'll have a hard decision, but there'll be a number of players in the next couple of days. This is a mountain of players that are going to go clear through waivers. A ton of players. This is not a good time to be on waivers. Middle of the season, when you got a goaltender who's hurt, good time to be on waivers. But now, you watch, the waiver wire is going to be full of sometimes veteran players, sometimes guys that get paid too much, have a big contract, but there'll be a lot of guys clear.
Glenn, one of the things I was wondering about with Freddie Anderson, look, there is a bit of a history of slow starts, whether it's injuries or whatever. In some ways, does that make Mike Babcock's decision a little clearer in that he might need a guy who he might have to play in back-to-back games at some point in the first month of the season? Or is that, I mean, am I overthinking it? Do you just go with Freddie Anderson and you know, whatever happens?
You know, I don't think he's had a big enough resume for us to stamp out that he's a traditional slow starter. I mean, for many years in Anaheim, he was sharing the net. He had yet to establish himself as a starter until he came here, and then it was clear who was going to be the starter. And at the start, you know, he had an injury his first year, the high ankle sprain, and boy, things didn't look pretty, and we argued about his contract, and he's making too much money, and they gave up too much in the trade. And then got over that injury, and then, wow, all of a sudden he had a dazzling season. People, you know, were talking Vezina with regards to his season. So that may be where, you know, we kind of get the rumbling, just because when he first got here, he was injured. You know, probably should have taken some more time off before he came back.
Right.
But I don't think there's a big enough resume for us to say, unequivocally, in his 15 years, he's never had a good October. Well, he hasn't given us 15, and the times that he's been there, just it's not a big enough sample size.
So William Nylander starts to lose money on Wednesday. And I think most people in the hockey world are, you know, certainly the Brian Burkes of the world are saying, look, Tuesday this thing will, you know, the rubber will meet the road and you'll get some serious negotiating done. Is that your sense of this? Or do you think that William Nylander might be that guy? You know, the dynamics are at work here that there may be a bit more of a, you know, of a holdout because... You know, if I'm Kyle Dubas, of the three young guys I have to keep happy, this is, I'm not going to say this is the guy I can take the whip to, but this is the guy I can, you know, of the three, this is the guy that I could probably play hardball with the most because I'm not saying he's the least talented of the three, but I think in a lot of ways you could make the point that he's the least important. Do you see this just being an example of where circumstances are weighing against getting a deal done quickly?
Well, I think Kyle looks at it from a couple standpoints. One is he feels now that it's more in his favor for that the pressure point because the player will start to lose money.
Right.
I don't think Brian threw the agent under the bus on the weekend, but he certainly ordered the bus to throw him under the bus. So, and the agent's going to feel some pinch too. Like, you know, this is my client. He wants to play. He doesn't want to sit at home in Sweden. Probably going to start snowing any day now, and I want to get out of here and get playing with the group that I want to play with. And yeah, you know what? I don't want to play in Carolina. That would not be a fun 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That would be 14 dog years. It would be horrible to be in that situation. When you look at this group and you say, wow, this window's here. So it there does become a pressure point, and Kyle's in a tough spot because, you know, it's when you get to draft first and you get the third overall and the fourth overall and the fifth overall and the seventh overall, guess what? These guys at some point are going to want some money. And there's only so much that you can dish out, especially when you sign a Tavares to what would be the best free agent deal in decades. So it's a juggling act for him. I would say this, they need him to win a Stanley Cup. You know, they can win during the regular season without him, but a Stanley Cup, it would be pretty difficult without that player in your lineup because you can talk Ennis, you can talk any player you want.
Mm-hmm.
They're not at the caliber that he's at, and he is their future. So I think it gets done. I think the numbers are large enough that there'll be a number that they can meet at in the middle, and as each day goes on, you know, there's more money that's left on the table because the player's not getting paid or getting played, which is the most important thing for a young guy.
I mean, we can file this again under the, you know, it's much better to be debating this topic than other topics, but the whole notion of how Mike Babcock uses his talent on the power play, the whole, where do you stand on that? The whole idea of you load it up or you spread it out. I don't know why you can't do it both, to be quite honest. You maybe use one on the road and one at home, depending on line changes and that.
Well, I can still recall standing 200 feet away from Grant Fuhr and the Edmonton Oilers and looking at Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky on the ice together and thinking, oh, please change. Would one of those guys please change? Get off. Mm-hmm. It's imposing. It's when I would load it up, and you know each game will dictate differently. How many shifts the guys played will dictate it differently. Whether you need a goal, you don't need a goal, you want different looks, but what options? Yeah, but for me, if I was an opposing team, I wouldn't want to see both of them on the ice with a Mitch Marner. It just to me would be that would be an imposing situation. So, yeah, it's a good situation to be in, isn't it? You know, when you take a power play that was really good last year where you didn't even need Austin Matthews on the first unit, and now you put John Tavares on the first unit with him? Pretty good problem to have.
Do you think there's a trickle-down effect, though, on the next line? And what I mean by that is when the power play's over, you know, a lot of people are saying, look, if you load up, effectively what you're saying is your fourth line is going to have to be the next line on the ice after the power play. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but that sort of seems to be the, you know, the conventional wisdom.
Well, that's your role. Don't
okay.
drop the ball.
Yep.
And if you drop the ball, we'll find someone else to do it. But
that's
if that is your role on a team, and it's not where we're going to ask you to be a 5-on-4 guy, but you're going to have to take that next shift and not lose the momentum of what we've created 5-on-4, then get out there and do it. And if you can't do it, then it's a pretty big league, and we'll find someone else who can.
And that's a pretty fast fourth unit too that they're sending out there. Like
yep.
it's not as if they're sending out some of the you know the Colton Orr fourth units.
Trust me, and guys relish that role. They want to be part of that. This is important to me. If I'm you know Gregory Campbell, I'm going to kill penalties and block shots. You know if it means breaking my leg to do it and finishing the shift, I'm going to do it. That's
mm-hmm.
just what I do. And if it means that I've got to be the guy that doesn't kill momentum and has to create more of what we've just watched, then you go do it. And I think if you give athletes that kind of role and are definitive with them, they flourish. If they don't know what they're supposed to do, they flounder. But I'm sure Mike will tell them. There's no lack of him letting you know what he thinks and how he's going to do it. That's for sure.
Got a question for you. Who's going to finish with more points at the end of the regular season, Matthews, Tavares, or Marner?
I would say, and I'm going to go off the board. I'm going to say Marner
yeah.
finish with more points.
Yeah.
I just think the weapons now that he has to work with a hockey IQ that I find exceptional. Probably the best day was the day they signed Tavares for him. And so, yeah, he's going to have a heck of a year. Dubas knows it, and Nylander does too. That's why he's looking at this going, oh, boy, I better get this sucker done. Because next year you're going to have to pay a couple other guys, and they are no slouches, that's for sure. It's going to be an exceptional year for both of them.
Hey, Glenn, is the where do you think the Leafs finish, and you know, what do you think their chances are of making the final? And do you have a favorite for the Cup right now?
Well, I was the only one who picked Vegas last year, if you remember at the start of the year.
Yeah, I'll
yeah,
give you that.
Sure you were.
They're sure, yep. right, yeah.
Right to the Stanley Cup. Punching the ticket already, game one. I would say that they'll win their division.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Stanley Cup final, you know, the one thing about it, it's just such a long ways away.
Yeah.
Injuries have a big factor. And, you know, even in playoff series, I mean, I was with the New York Islanders when we beat Pittsburgh in 93. We were lousy, let's face it. We had two good weeks, right? It's like
yep.
some of our guys, their marriages. Like it was 2 good weeks, and then it's just downhill. So, yeah, we had no right being in the same building as them, and we found a way to beat them. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And that's sport. That's what we watch.
Well, sometimes so, it is a matchup thing. I mean, when you get to the playoffs, it's purely matchup. In every sport, it's a matchup, isn't it, really?
Yep. You know, even when we won in 94, we could not beat Detroit or Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit was a team that was exceptional. They got beat by San Jose in 7.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. They're gone? Okay, and then Philadelphia, Washington beat them, and we didn't have to face, you know, a much bigger team than us. So stuff like that, you're talking matchups that sets the table for success or not. And, you know, let's face it, when we played Vancouver in 94, they were a 500 team.
Yes.
And we won the President's Trophy. So we were a better team, and thank goodness for some of the teams that we couldn't beat not being there at the dance.
Good stuff, Mr. Healy, as always. Should be a lot of fun this year. Getting ready to see the Highlanders?
Oh, absent. That's the only reason I go to the game. Then I leave.
Take care, man.
Yeah, and hey, the good thing about this year is Lou actually won't have them go on the ice to play at 2 o'clock in the afternoon when no one's there. Because tradition states that they play right before the game.
Right.
Yeah, but he didn't want them affecting the quality of the ice. So they played in front of friends and family and flies. That won't be the case. Thank you for going somewhere else, Lou.
Yeah, that's no problem. But how many of them had beards? That's my question.
Well, maybe that's a factor as well.
Could be.
Maybe a few of them had beers. So that's a factor. Lou doesn't like that either.
Take care, man.
All right, cheers. Bye.